Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. How many of you have ever thought of adopting? You know, I think there's something that I know my wife and I have talked about, if the timing or the opportunity was ever right. But adopting is quite a process. It's a process you go through. And sometimes when you're right up to that point of getting that child, it falls through. One of our members, Dan and Ashley Fosnight, they actually had a baby girl that was born that the mom, Michelle, was going to give them. She was born on Friday. And Dan and Ashley called me yesterday to say, Michelle's kind of changed her mind. She's thinking about keeping the baby and has asked us to leave the hospital. And, you know, I think about the heartache, the desire to have a child, but to have that child taken out of your hands. On top of the heartache, there's a cost of to do an adoption in the U.S. could be $15,000 to $40,000 to bring a child from another nation. $20,000 to $50,000 the foster care adoption to take a child in and care for them and eventually come to adoption. And I think about all these ways that there are children who are longing for a family. And that's the image that God gives about us as a family, that as children in this world that is full of sin and brokenness and evil and hurting. God says, how great is the love that our Father has lavished on us, that we shall be called what? Children of God. And John just kind of adds to this. He says, and this is what we are. We are God's children. In the book of Ephesians, Paul puts it this way, that in Ephesians 4, in love, God chose us and he has adopted us into his family through Jesus Christ. And so today, kind of as I think about All Saints Day and being a part of God's family, to have this image of adoption as God welcomes us into his family. And so I came across a story as an excerpt from a book, and it's a little bit too long. I wasn't just able to memorize it, but I'd like to share this excerpt for you from Proof, written by Timothy Paul Jones. It tells the story of taking his adopted daughter to Disney World. He says this, I never dreamed that taking a child to Disney World would be so difficult, or that such a trip could teach me so much about God's outrageous grace. Our middle daughter had been previously adopted by another family. I, Timothy, am sure this couple had the best of intentions, but they never quite adopted the child into their family of biological children. After a couple of rough years, they dissolved the adoption, and we ended up welcoming an 8-year-old girl into our home. For one reason or another, whenever our daughter's previous family vacationed at Disney World, they took their biological children with them, but they left their adopted daughter with a family friend. Usually, at least in the child's mind, this happened because she did something wrong that precluded her presence on the trip. And so by the time we adopted our daughter, she had seen many pictures of Disney World, kind of like the pictures up there. She had heard about the rides and the characters and the parades. But when it came through passing through the gates of Magic Kingdom, she had always been like the one left on the outside. Once I found out about this history, I made plans to take her to Disney World the next time a speaking engagement took our family to southeastern United States. I thought I had mastered the Disney World drill. I knew from previous experiences that the prospect of seeing cast members in freakishly oversized mouse and duck costumes somehow turns children into squeamishly bundles of emotional instability. What I didn't expect was that the prospect of visiting this dream world would produce a stream of downright devilish behavior in our newest daughter. In the month leading up to our trip to the Magic Kingdom, she stole food when a simple request would have gained her a snack. She lied when she knew it would be easier to tell the truth. She whispered insults that were carefully crafted to hurt her older sister as deeply as possible. And as the days on the calendar moved closer to the trip, her mutinies multiplied. A couple days before our family headed to Florida, I pulled our daughter into my lap to talk through her latest escapade. "I know what you're going to do," she stated flatly. "You're not going to take me to Disney World, are you?" The thought hadn't actually crossed my mind, but her downward spiral suddenly started to make some sense. She knew she couldn't earn her way into the Magic Kingdom. She had tried and failed that several times before. So she was living in a way that placed her as far as possible from the most magical place on the earth. In retrospect, I'm embarrassed to admit that in the moment, I was tempted to turn her fear into my own advantage. The easiest response would have been, "If you don't start behaving better, you're right. We won't take you." But by God's grace, I didn't. Instead, I asked her, "Is this trip something we're doing as a family?" She nodded, brown eyes wide and tear-filled. "Are you part of this family?" She nodded again. "Then you're going with us. Sure, there may be some consequences to help you remember what's right or what's wrong, but you're a part of the family, and we're not leaving you behind." I like to say that her behaviors grew better after that moment, but they didn't. Her choices pretty much spiraled out of control at every hotel and every rest stop all the way to Lake Buena Vista. Still, we headed to Disney World on the day that we had promised, and it was a typical Disney day. Overpriced tickets, overpriced meals, and lots of lines, mingled with just enough manufactured magic to consider maybe going again someday. In our hotel room that evening, a very different child emerged. She was exhausted, pensive, and a little weepy at times, but her month-long facade of rebellion had faded. When bedtime rolled around, I prayed with her, held her, and asked, "So how was your first day at Disney World?" She closed her eyes and snuggled down into her stuffed unicorn. After a few moments, she opened her eyes ever so slightly. "Daddy," she said, "I finally got to go to Disney World, but it wasn't because I was good. It's because I'm yours." Did you catch that at the end? The girl went, not because she was good, but because she's a part of the family. She's yours. You're my daddy. And I think about Scripture. And Scripture tells us that none of us are good enough. We don't deserve God's blessings. We don't earn them. In fact, by our rebellion, much like that child, we push God away. We push His grace and mercy away. But God looks at us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and He declares over each one of us, "I could have chosen anyone in the whole world as my child, and I chose you. No matter what you say or do, neither my love nor my choice will ever change." On the cross, we see Jesus dying for us, showing us His love so that we never have to doubt, "Does God love me? Will God include me?" And on the cross, we see God says, "Yes, I chose you." Would you say this with me, read this light with me, starting with "In Christ I am," and then "What we are in Christ." Let's read this together. "In Christ I am chosen, adopted, accepted, forgiven, redeemed, and blessed." That is who you are. That is your identity, that you are part of a great multitude on this All Saints Day, that this will be a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, not because we've earned it, but because of God's love for you and for me. My prayer this day is that you may receive this love and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for choosing me. Jesus, I want to be a part of your family. Help me. Help me live in a way that honors you, Daddy. A way that loves people as you have loved me. That together we may celebrate that we are God's family." Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you for the grace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that even though we don't deserve to go to heaven, even though we haven't earned being a part of your family, we receive this as a gift of grace, earned for us by Jesus Christ through his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, and his glorious resurrection. Jesus, because you live, you allow us to live even beyond death. Help us, Lord, to hold on to this promise, this identity as your children, that we may not live for ourselves, but that we may live for you, inviting all people to be a part of your family. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.